Okay, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up as indeed you are doing. Isn't that great for what I was doing? All right. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and who have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Beloved, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I solemnly command you by the Lord that this letter be read to all of them. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of God. And Axel will bring us the message now from the right place.
Well, I sure hope so. It's good to be back with you. And I agree with what Shirley said earlier about how special it is that this congregation is consistently involved in reaching out into its community in different ways. I'm delighted to see the evidences of the Vacation Bible School successfully undertaken this week behind me and in front of us earlier on. And when we see the children with that kind of energy and joy and clearly having had a good week, it's really easy to give thanks. And we see them doing it gladly from their young perspective. But there's a hint in that second song that it isn't always so easy. I feel you through the pain. Did you notice those words? Sometimes that's the work we have to do. How do we give thanks in those circumstances? And it's possible that I'm going to move you through a difficult journey, but I hope a helpful one this morning as we try to answer that question. It was February 12th, 2015. We probably all heard about it in the news. There were videos. I'm not the kind of person who can watch these things. 21 Egyptian construction workers were beheaded on a beach in Libya. The reason? They were Christians, and given the opportunity to deny their faith, they wouldn't. And they were executed. 13 of those 21 came from one town. Besides the horror of the event, imagine the impact on families, widows, children without fathers. In some cases, income would have really been short. Maybe ever since. How do we give thanks in that kind of circumstance? Or to get closer to home, my wife Karen and I have a very close friend. Her husband and her were very close friends. But more than a decade ago, her husband was out with another buddy in the South Okanagan doing what he loved, hiking. And they reached a point where there was a lower path and a higher one. The lower one was more difficult to get through, though less strenuous. His buddy went the lower path. Our friend went the upper path. And though normally very careful, he stepped on a ledge that wasn't as solid as he thought. He was dead by the time his buddy got to him. That buddy has been shaken up for years afterwards. Our friend left behind three teens and a woman, suddenly a widow. How do we give thanks in those kind of circumstances? And we here may have had similar experiences. And yet Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. The widow told me that it was crucial over the years that followed that I didn't nudge her to give thanks when she wasn't ready. And my own pastoral response over years and years of work has been not to feed those kind of lines too quickly to people, but to suffer with them, to support them, to refuse the superficial statements. And I know from working with so many students as well as my own pastoral work that this is right. But I also know that Paul meant it. Give thanks in all circumstances because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How do we reconcile those two things? Well, the Thessalonian church was not in an easy place. They were being persecuted by their neighbors in the city of Thessalonica, a thriving seaport in the northeastern part of what we now call Greece. They met that persecution with joy and with abiding faith, even though there was much about their faith they did not yet know, much less understand. For they weren't that well instructed. The persecution broke out quite quickly, and Paul, having planted the church, had to leave in a hurry. And there was so much yet to learn. For example, they didn't know about Christ's coming return. And so when some of them died, they thought that was it. And Paul had to say, oh no. No, you'll meet them in the air when Christ returns. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. But they didn't know that. And still, they met the persecution with joy and abiding faith. They did miss Paul. They wanted him to come and to teach them more, to support them in their trials. And he felt the pressure enough that he had to explain his absence to them. This was not a community of believers who had it easy. And yet to these folk, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. And as Marian read out, we went the long winding route to get there, but as she read that out, there's more instructions that he's given them. Take note. Think of their circumstances. Encourage and build up each other, as in fact you're doing. Good. Good that he could say that. But remember that under trial, often we lose our motivation to encourage others. We often don't sustain it. They did. He said, respect the leaders who are set up among you as an example of sowing peace, something we're all to participate in. And yet, then he says some things that would actually, I think, test the peace. Have you ever tried admonishing the idol? How easy was that? Have you ever tested a prophecy and found it wanting? What kind of reaction did you get? Did that resonate of peace? And yet these are the things he's saying all together, not just one verse. And these to a people under pressure. Other things we get more readily: encourage the faint, help the weak, do it all with patience. And if you take nothing else away from this morning, take this: no patience, no peace. No patience, no peace. Within or between us. We're to do good to people in the church, but also beyond. But what if that good is admonishment? What if that good is testing the prophecy? What if when we do that, the reaction isn't good? Do we still give thanks? Or do we still rejoice always, as he also instructs them? Pray without ceasing was a verse that I always thought, Paul, come on. But I've got glimpses over the years of how it's possible to approach our work, our relationships, with a prayerful attitude where prayers can quickly and often silently slip in the middle of what we're doing. And so our life becomes increasingly saturated with prayer. I think that one's doable, though not easy. And then he reminds them not to quench the spirit. When you are under pressure, what happens inside of you? For many of us, the answer will be our spirit starts to shrivel a bit. And when that spirit shrivels, it's hard to be responsive to the Spirit of God. He says, don't do it. Even though you're under a lot of pressure, don't do it. Let the Spirit continue to be active and alive. Leave room for prophecy. I recently received such a word, and it was very encouraging to me. And yet we are to test it. Now, think about your own life. Not all of us would feel this way, but if we know someone's going to test what we say, won't a lot of us just not say it? Already the risk of quenching is there. Somehow, there's a balancing act. Be open to the Spirit, yet test. For there are times when the Lord does speak by His Spirit through someone, and we need to hear it either as individuals or corporately. What a set of instructions. What a set of instructions to a harassed and very new body of believers in Thessalonica. But what a set of instructions for us who probably aren't in that kind of circumstance. This is hard stuff to live up to. For I hope I've helped you feel not all our actions, even when we are doing good, will turn out to build peace the way we want, to express the openness to the Spirit that we intend for us and for others. Not all of them lead to rejoicing. And yet even then, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. There's probably a reason why he does. Often our modern scientific research catches up to things that the Bible has known for thousands of years. But there have been recent studies, you may have seen them, that say those who approach life with a thankful attitude are healthier. Healthier in their relationships, physically healthier, emotionally healthier. There's a reason why this is a good thing. But it also reflects the presence of God in our lives. So how do we do it when often life is less than ideal? Well, there is a hint if we pay close attention to the grammar. Paul did not say Give thanks for all circumstances. He said, give thanks in all circumstances. In other words, my widow friend does not have to say thank you to the Lord for the death of her husband. But she has been able to find ways to continue to see God's goodness active in life and act on it. She bears witness to Christ in a rather remarkable way to many young people her children's age. And she's a good friend. We're thankful for that in her life, and I think she is too. In a sequel to the story of the martyrs in Libya, Coptic churches began to experience Muslims in Egypt coming to their doors and asking for copies of the Bible, because the forgiveness extended struck them and they wanted to know more. Also, I think there was active a sense of, this is not what we want our religion to be about, beheading others violently. And so they began to seek. There's probably still families struggling because of the loss of the breadwinner. But there's a sign of God's goodness there that we can give thanks for. When we attempt to admonish, to test, or to prophesy, and it doesn't turn out positively, we can give thanks that the Lord gave us courage to try. And we can learn to watch for other signs of God's goodness among the disappointments. They will be there. I still think it's important to avoid glib statements to the wounded. Better to come alongside. When the time is right, we can talk. But at the same time, we can model cultivating the habit to find reasons to give thanks even in difficult circumstances, and find that the Lord is building into us and into our communities increasing spiritual, emotional, physical, and relational health. As we do, we're not going to say life will necessarily be easy, but we will find that we can spread joy. And that's remarkable. We'll also find that our ability to cope with the circumstances increases noticeably. These are benefits worth pursuing. And I think it's what Paul intended. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let us, like the Thessalonians, keep encouraging and building one another up as we go through life together. Let us pray. Lord, you give us a challenge, as you gave the Thessalonians, that isn't easy, apart from your Spirit. But we begin to sense, as we examine these words of closing in this letter, that Paul meant it for our good. And he meant it in trying circumstances as well as good ones. And he meant to release in us things like joy and thankfulness that build up people and testify to the grace of God, even in an imperfect and sometimes sorrowing world. Lord, as we are feeling sorrow today, perhaps, bring us your comfort and help us find ways which to glimpse that goodness that still surrounds us. And if, like the children at VBS, we have all sorts of reasons to be excited that you know us and have a purpose for us, may our thanksgiving abound for the sake of others. Lord, build us up. Thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. And for that, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Sit down for a moment before I give the benediction, please. I want to give people an opportunity, if they have a couple of minutes, I think that's the right time frame, to share with each other, to build each other up. If you've had a moment in your life where you can say, that was hard, but I found a way to give thanks. So no more than 2 minutes, it can be even 20 seconds. But do you have something to share with the body that would encourage? Well, I won't drag it out forever, but since it's a surprise, I'll give you a moment to think. No? Well, take time to think about those things and encourage each other in other times, because we need each other. Life isn't always easy, but God's goodness is amazing. And we can find it even in the difficult circumstances. May your eyes, mind, and heart be wide open to the presence of Jesus Christ in his majesty and love. Your spirit, his spirit, touching you in the good times and the challenges, and the unending love of God the Father. And all Christ's people said, Amen. Amen.